Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Thank you for tuning in to Call to Freedom. This is Kimberly. I am Barbara's daughter, and I'm sitting in for her today as she does some errands and gets some things done. And I am so glad that you joined me. We are dedicated to revealing truth about our God and our Creator so that you can be truly free to enjoy this life and this world that He has made for us. He wants us to enjoy what He has created. He enjoys what He has created. And so often we get really bogged down with our lives, with our schedules and everything that's required of us, our responsibilities and obligations, and we forget to enjoy. So that is what we here at Call to Freedom want for you. We want you to experience joy in a way that releases you and sets you free to know God in a deeper way and really have fun with Him. That's something that I do. I have fun with Him. If you are looking for any more of our radio programs, you are welcome to look for freedomstreet.org and you will find radio programs under resources. There is a menu on freedomstreet.org. If you are using a mobile app, that menu just looks like three straight lines. That's what you're looking for, is those three lines. Just tap on that and you will find all kinds of files and tabs that you can explore on freedomstreet.org. Well, yesterday we were talking about the difference between God's revealed will and His sovereign will for us. And we are wanting to know that when His revealed will, that those would be His instructions to us, when that revealed will is falling apart because we as humans make mistakes and we live in a broken world. When that revealed will looks like it's not being followed very well, God's sovereign will takes over and He has such an amazing dream for us. He is working all things together for good all the time. That falls under His sovereign will. And yesterday, as we were closing out the program, we were talking about how a lot of what we do in this life will never amount to a hill of beans. I think that's how Mom worded it. And I just wanted to say that can cause us to feel free as human beings, or that can cause us to be pretty discouraged because we have been working really hard in this life. And we have been trying really hard to figure out who we are, what we were meant to do, and how to walk in the light that God has given us. So what does that mean exactly, that maybe our life won't amount to a hill of beans, or what we've done here won't amount to a hill of beans? I think we try to think about how we are weighed down. That's a good way to put it. How we're heavy and weighed down with so many responsibilities in this life and so many things to do. And when we feel that weight, we can take that to Jesus. We can take it to the Lord. And He has promised us that His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's not heavy. So that's what we're trying to figure out about our God, is that His sovereign will is light for us. His heart for us is that we enjoy this life and that we're not always weighed down with these responsibilities and burdens. So some of the scriptures that we're looking at that will reveal more of God's sovereign will, we mentioned Isaiah 46 and Romans 8 yesterday. Let's look at Ephesians 1:11. This says that God works out everything according to the counsel of his will. So here we are. We're seeing his will, his sovereign will. He has wisdom and knows how to work out everything according to the counsel of his will. That means that when we make mistakes, or when we have regrets, when we experience the brokenness of this life because of what happens in this world, accidents and sicknesses, illnesses, when we experience those losses, God is working out everything according to the counsel of his will. This is in the scriptures. It's written. And somehow we don't grasp that. We humans have a mentality that our choices have ruined his plan. But that just is not possible. That is what sovereignty of God truly means. That his sovereign will is still being perfected. It's still being accomplished. It's still being completed. He is working it all out according to his counsel of his will. And so we don't have to sit in regret or in any kind of shame or guilt. This verse tells us that God is working it all out. He's working it all out in your life. So if you have been in some circumstances lately, or if you have even some old ones that haunt you, know that God is working everything according to the counsel of his will. It's his sovereign will in action that will bring his good pleasure, his goodness to us. I'm just mindful right now of Psalm 138, verse 8. It says that the Lord will perfect and he'll complete and accomplish everything that concerns you. So that's another scripture that's talking about the sovereign will of God. If you are concerned, if you have some worries and concerns in this life, in this world, Psalm 138, verse 8 says that God is perfecting, completing, accomplishing, that he is working it all out for his good pleasure, and that's for your good pleasure too. I really believe that God's sovereignty is our greatest dream come true. We are created for him, and when we come alongside him and realize that we're made for much greater things than in this life, that's when we are launched into a whole new realm of thinking. That's when we are realizing our very greatest hopes, our greatest dreams are found in him. Oh, this is good news. This is really good news for us. Another scripture that we can look at is Proverbs 16, verse 9. While humans plan their course, God determines their steps. So here it is again. We might be planning out our course in this life and making all kinds of agendas and goals and writing out our dreams. But God, behind the scenes, is working his sovereign will, and he is determining our steps. That doesn't mean that we're puppets in his hands. It means that he is making sure we find the very best outcomes in our planned course. He will help us find the very best result. And this is not focused on the outcomes of this world, but in the world to come. We need to remember that we are not just physical beings. We are eternal beings. And sometimes we get our eyes too focused on the temporal life and what we have planned right now. But we are right now in this moment seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You know what? I want to read that. I know that's in Ephesians 2, So let me turn there, because it is so good to confirm what the Lord has said in Ephesians 2, verse 6. He says that he has raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we are with him in the heavenly realm. This is a glorious realm. We have been placed with Christ right now in this realm of perfection, and we've been given authority, the authority of Christ, when we come alongside his plans for us. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to throw away every plan here. That just means that we want him to have his dream come true more than we want our own dream. And when we look to him having his dream, I have been trying to practice this in my own life, and I just can't even put in words the kind of joy that he brings to me, the kind of ways that he wakes me up in the morning, or that he surprises me in the middle of the day with a new songbird and a new song that I haven't heard before, or a group of flowers, something that he just will whisper to me, I wanted you to hear that today. I wanted you to see those colors today. I made those for you. Wow. When you hear those whispers, because you have come alongside him, he brings you more joy than you can ever imagine. And we need to realize that we're not just temporal beings right here today, listening, talking during this broadcast, but we are also exalted with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realm. We're co-seated with Christ, one with him, made one with him. That's something that's going on right now. So it's going to take a little bit of our imagination, or maybe just calling on the Lord to ask him to reveal this to us, to open the eyes of our understanding, to open the eyes of our hearts, to really see what he is doing, that it's not just about the here and now. It is about a heavenly realm where he is working for his good pleasure to be accomplished, where he is working everything out. So when we look at Ephesians 2:6 and realize that we are right now in this moment seated with Christ in the heavenlies, you know, this is actually confirmed in Colossians 3:1. Let's look at that too. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. So fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of this natural realm. This is how we want to be thinking. We want to be thinking the way that the Word of God tells us, instead of just caught up in all of the interactions in this world. So use that imagination of yours that God has given you to realize that you are seated with him. He's whispering to you, talking to you, giving you instruction, guiding you. He is working everything in your life together for good. He wants you to have success in this life. And when we are hooked into that and wanting him to have his dream come true, that's when we will realize a greater joy than any other joy that this life could give us. There's another scripture in Romans 11, verse 36. It affirms that from him and through him and for him are all things. So it's not from us, it's not through us, it's not for us that all things exist and that all of life is playing out. It really is for him. It's from him and it's through him. And we can trust that he is working all of this for good. That is so much what we want. We want his good, because our good, have you noticed? It falls apart after a while. We think we have a good plan and we start on that plan and we head that direction. And at some point, it just doesn't satisfy. It really does not fulfill. And sometimes that's because of the brokenness and the accidents in this life, but it's also because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we acknowledge this, we recognize our need for someone to not just rescue us from our sin, but to love us when we are unlovable, and to help us love others when they are unlovable. This is God's, I believe it's his revealed will summed up with his sovereign will in action through us. We're encouraged to follow God's revealed will for our lives and to walk in his written commandments. And yet, because of Romans 3:23 reminding us that we've all fallen short of that will, then we just are left wondering, how do we work this out? How should we live life in this compromised state? And we might study the Word of God to try to attempt to walk more closely. We might renew some, maybe some vows that we've made that we'll fast more or pray more. And we might try that, but we must be careful to not let all of that knowledge and all of our trying cause us to be stubborn or prideful, thinking that we have gained something in our own efforts. It is never in our own efforts. It's always the Lord's doing. It is from him and through him and for him. So we don't want that arrogance to come up in our lives and cause us to be deceived. Just like David talking in Psalm 19, verse 14, we do not want presumption. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me, and then I will be blameless. I will be acquitted of many transgressions. And the memory verse of this week is Psalm 19, 14. I think I just quoted verse 13. And now here is verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. I just had a conversation with a young man, a friend of mine. He was so in awe of how God has given us his breath, that he has reserved his breath for us to breathe. And when we breathe in his breath, this young man was telling me that it's like fanning the fire. It's like fanning the flame of God and love for him. So we breathe in that breath. And when we breathe out, we have the opportunity to let go and release all of our human works and our human understanding, all the things that cause us to flounder in this life, because we are so imperfect and God is perfect, and he's giving us his perfection and seating us with him. He's already done it. He's doing it right now, and he will continue to do that in the future, because our God is not a God of time. He is a God of eternity. So timing for us, whether something happened in the past or is happening right now or is happening in the future, that is not a thing for God. He can just keep it going right now and forever. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8, verses 2 and 3. It says, if anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. I like these two verses. It talks about the word know. It brings up the word know, which in Hebrew, the Hebrew word is yada, and it's a very intimate, it's an intimate verb. That kind of knowing is discovering, or it's also experiencing. So in this passage in 1 Corinthians 8, 2 and 3, if anyone supposes that he knows, or has experienced anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. I love that. This is encouraging us to love. And it's telling us that it all boils down to love, which means it all boils down to relationship with God. Loving is a higher and a better way of being in the know. Being in the know. My kids will talk about being in the know. Maybe it's an older phrase. But being in the know is another way of saying that someone has knowledge. I like to focus on the word know, especially Genesis 4:1. I think that's one of the first places that we see the word know in the Bible. And it describes Adam as knowing his wife. And that's when she conceived. So it can be translated, experienced his wife. It's a very intimate way of knowing. And with that in mind, let's just look at 1 Corinthians 8:2-3 one more time. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. We want to have that kind of intimate experience with God and know his heart. He already knows our hearts, so it's up to us to search for him. And that is what does count in this life. When we are finally with him in that realm and we're no longer living this life, then we won't have to work at that kind of faith. We won't have to work to know his heart. But right here, right now, it takes a lot of faith and a lot of trust in finding our God. So that is our purpose in this life, is to lean in and to search for him, to search for his heart, instead of just gathering more and more information and more knowledge, instead of education. Human beings really do like to be in the know in that sense of having information. But God's higher way of knowing is in the arena of loving. Love is what drives his sovereignty, his sovereign will. Love does not discriminate, and it is not prejudice. Love does not judge. And 1 Corinthians 4:5 tells us, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes. I love the idea of waiting on the Lord. When we wait on him, yeah, I've just recently decided that I'm going to put my phone away, that I'm going to actually power it down and put it away for a whole day. I did it for 24 hours and it wasn't enough for me. I had so much wonderful communication with the Lord, undistracted, that I went another 12 hours. It ended up being 36 hours and I still didn't want to turn my phone back on. Because of the love that God was pouring into me, opening my eyes to see in ways that I don't see when I'm distracted with my phone, just being in the room. Have you heard that statistic? There is a statistic that says that when your phone is just in the same room with you, you might not even be looking at it. It does something to your cognitive thinking. The cognitive thinking skills go down by 40%. I'm going to look that up again because I'm not sure. I didn't write it in any of my notes, so I'm not sure I'm getting that accurate. But it affects you to have that phone in the same room with you. It's a distraction. God doesn't want us distracted. God is love, and he is the only one who can fill us with his love and help us be fully known by him and help us to fully know him. Well, I'm not sure that we'll ever be able to do that. I think we'll spend all of eternity discovering more and more about who he really is and how good he is. While we're here, though, as human beings, let's determine that we're not going to judge each other. And let's establish ourselves in love, because that is God's sovereign will for us. And this is why we need to search for ways to get to know his heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 23, it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. The Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless." And that's a quote from Psalm 94. "So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you." Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. And you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. If we are really taking this passage for what it's saying, literally, that means that you already have all things. So you can be fully satisfied and fulfilled in this life when you sit and wait on the Lord and you increase your knowing instead of just increasing your knowledge. Increase knowing His heart and choose to see Him as really good, because He is. He's better than any of us have ever imagined. When we choose to love, we are following Christ's example. We could try to follow Christ by gaining knowledge of the Word and having a ready answer by studying and practicing the gifts, those gifts of pastoring, evangelizing, prophesying, healing, teaching. We might just study as much as possible, but it all amounts to nothing if we do not have love for one another and love for God. We are made in His image. That's His sovereign will. And we get to choose to walk in that image or to try to create another image. We want to encourage you to choose the Lord. Choose His sovereign will and His dream come true. And we want that to be your joy in this life.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in